This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We were just talking about that loss last night at the Garden, Knicks and Timberwolves. I see Ian O'Connor write this column at the... for the Post today about Karl-Anthony Towns, and now, you know, could be time for Karl-Anthony Towns and the Knicks to get together, because he grew up in Jersey and he's a Knicks fan. His dad was at the game. And how many of these stories and players have the Knicks been tied to over the last decade that it just never works out? You know, there's this guy would love to play for the Knicks. This guy said this about the Garden. This guy's uncle was a janitor at the Garden at the 90s Knicks. This guy's mom was a Clyde Frazier fan. Like, it never works out. Now, I know that Karl-Anthony Towns, I mean, okay, maybe he did want to play for the Knicks when he mentioned that 7 years ago when he was drafted, whenever it was. I mean, but he's got 2 more years left on his contract, and you would have to have him really want to play for the Knicks to want to leave and then to sign here. I mean, and then the only way that you're going to get the Timberwolves to trade him is if he pulls an Anthony Davis, or he pulls a Dwight Howard, or he pulls something like that, and I'm not sure he's going to do that. So it's just like this search for a superstar thing that has gone on with the Knicks all these years is just, it's becoming nauseating. It really is. And I would love, it would be great to get Karl-Anthony Towns here. It really would, but how realistic is that? And I don't know what the Knicks are going to do with this trade deadline. I mean, I don't know if they're going to try, like, trade away some assets and just basically create some more playing time for young guys, or try to take a big swing at the deadline. And I'll tell you right now, last year and this year, the trade deadline philosophy could not be more different. You can't, one thing you cannot do this year is what you did last year, is stick with the team that you have.
Well, they've already made a trade for Cam Reddish.
Right.
Now, that's, you know, according to Cam, he can become a superstar, who knows. But that's your first trade. Whose playing time is he getting?
Well, I mentioned this already, I think that Evan Fournier is a guy that could see some minutes diminish because of Cam Reddish being here.
So here's this trade that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Does this lead to another trade? You know, because now you're adding a guy that you'd like to think is going to get some real-time minutes. So then what's the next trade? There has to be some other trade that goes along with this to make this whole thing work. I mean, you have all these guys, and it's a good problem to have, I guess, when they're all healthy, and when Nerlens Noel comes back and Derrick Rose comes back, and now all of a sudden you have guys like that you should be playing because they're young and they need to play, because the team's not winning a championship. We know that.
I'm not even going to get close. They may not even make the playoffs.
So then the question is, if you have a guy that you're adding to your team that was bitching and complaining about the lack of minutes in Atlanta, mm-hmm. yet he was getting about 26 minutes a game. If he comes here and he plays 7 minutes a game, how's that going to work out?
No, I think you bring him here because you want to play him.
Where are you playing him? You're playing him at Fournier's spot?
I would think that's my answer right now. I think we'll see when it happens. I mean, that's the one guy I would think that his minutes would get a little diminished because Cam Reddish is here. Yeah. Because Fournier's been, I mean, I know he had over 20 points again last night, but he's essentially been a free agent bust for the Knicks. He gets hot here or there. When he's got a great shooting night, you're impressed, but that doesn't happen a lot. And defensively, he stinks. So, I don't know. But there's no way that you could go into the second half of the season and just run this back out there and hope for the best.
No, that's why I think that just from the outside looking in, now it looks to me like The Cam Reddish trade is going to lead to something else. It has
but,
to lead
but
to
how,
something
like
else.
To something else that's drastic? Like, drastic would be trading Julius Randle. Yeah, well, drastic yeah, would
well,
be...
I'm down with that. I don't know who would want him, though.
Oh, there'll be somebody will take him, for sure.
You think so?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, in the world of NBA contracts,
yes,
it's not so bad. Now, I know when we see the contract that he signed, and you're thinking, oh, my God, look at the amount of money. I mean, he actually took a discount.
I know he did. I know that, and we all appreciated that.
It's not some sort of albatross contract that couldn't be moved. I just don't. Maybe the offseason, as I mentioned before, I'd be very surprised if they move him at the trade deadline. I'd be shocked, actually. I could see them having a disappointing rest of the year, then really doing a makeover in the offseason. To trade him at the trade deadline seems like a little bit much. But I don't know. I don't know if there's something that works out where they think they can significantly improve themselves this year. But it's like last night, I mean, it's not enjoyable to watch. It just wasn't enjoyable. Because in the beginning of the season, the first six games, or 5-1, was enjoyable. Last night's not enjoyable.
Because they're losing.
Well, they get their ass kicked in the beginning of the game.
Yep.
I'll tell you, well, this is why. Because of the flow of the game, too. They're getting their ass kicked in the beginning of the game. Like, why am I even watching this?
Well, game flow, you got to stay with it. You got to stay through the entire game.
No, because
you can't just turn it off.
Oh, sure I can.
They had a great comeback in the second half.
I know, and then when I saw that, I went back to it.
It was, it was exciting, but then all of a sudden, you know, they can't make the shot.
Right, of course
they
not.
They just missed the shot. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, but I mean, so this is what I do. I see that they're getting their ass kicked. I'm like, I don't want to watch this.
That last shot's made. Everybody's exploding. Everybody's happy this morning.
But that didn't happen.
And we're all lauding the fact that they, you know, gave you a good effort in the second half. And then Kemba Walker came back and did had a hell of a second half shooting-wise. But, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, when you watch Anthony Edwards.
20 years old.
The Ant-Man.
Yeah,
he's
man.
Flying around all over the place. But, you know, more under control than Emmanuel Quickly.
Sure. Only played, I think, 9 minutes last night.
Yeah, because he gets like his hair is on fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the beginning of the game, I don't know whether it be Julius Randle or R.J. Barrett just throwing the ball away. The turnovers were just insane.
Now, sloppy.
You know, Clyde and Mike were talking, Breen were talking about, like, the intensity of the defense, you know, from the Wolves, and I'm like, well, that's supposed to be the Knicks with the coach that the Knicks have.
That's what they were last year. You know, and then both these teams have similar records, the Knicks and the Timberwolves. They have totally different feels around them because of expectations. And that's, you know, it's like the Timberwolves feel like a team that's on the way up, and the Knicks feel like a team that's on the way down, you know, with the way that they have played so far this year. Let's go to Chris in Levittown. What's going on, Chris? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. First time call to this station. Good to talk to you. Boomer, I got to say, you just sound out of touch with sports. You know, I respect your opinion overall on football, but yesterday with the Kyler Murray stuff, like you wouldn't take Kyler Murray over Daniel Jones?
I want my quarterback to be committed to the team, and I want him to take being a quarterback in the NFL 100% seriously, and I want to make sure that he is the total leader of the team. I'm sorry. Maybe you're out of touch, Chris. See you later. You know, you have no idea what the hell you're talking about. You know, the other thing, too, about Julius Randle, he just told you to go F off, essentially, last week.
Well, it was. I believe it was shut the bleep up is what it was.
Too bad. You know, I if it were me, he's out of here. You know, you're going to tick off my customers and, you know, the fans that are paying your salaries with huge ticket prices. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, he had a nice little statement, though. Walked it back a little bit, you know?
Mm.
You don't think that was genuine?
No, when you walk back a statement, you do it like Dak Prescott did it. That's how you walk back a statement.
Yeah, okay.
Where there's obviously Dak Prescott realized what he did, and when he came out, I do feel that it was pure and it was honest. And
did it on Twitter,
and,
though, you know?
Yeah, but again, that's the best way to reach people.
Okay.
So I understand. And by the way, he's not being interviewed. You know, his season's over.
Right.
And he did it the right way, and I do believe him when he says that. And he's okay. You had a bad moment. Everybody's allowed to have a bad moment. It's all right. You know, you're emotional. That's why they want to talk to you right after the game, because they want the raw emotion.
Yeah, I want to get this statement again. I want to see if there's anything in there that you like at all.
About?
Julius Randle's apology.
I don't think he wrote it.
You don't think he wrote it?
Either his agent wrote it or the PR staff for the Knicks wrote it. Because then when they asked him about it, you know, he didn't even want to talk about it.
I love New York City and being a part of this team and this franchise. And like most Knicks fans, I am really passionate about us being successful.
So shut the F up.
My family and I love how the fans and New Yorkers have embraced and accepted us and have made us feel great about our decision to commit long-term with the team this past summer. This support means the world to us. Mm. I understand my actions also represent the league, this organization, and the city, and I should have handled things last night differently and expressed myself with more professionalism and more appropriate language in the heat of the moment. My comment was an example of how sometimes you say things you regret to people you love, even if it came from a place of passion and deep love. A lot of love going on here.
A lot of love.
Nobody wants to win more than me, and I will continue to show loyalty and dedication to my teammates, the entire Knicks organization, and the fans who have shown me and my family so much love.
Okay, and where was he in the press conference the next day when he was asked about it?
He said he had already addressed it.
He had every opportunity to say, look, my words are true, and I regret what I did.
He could have said that, yeah. It would have helped out a little bit, but he didn't. But he did also put this statement out. We can't just totally forget about that. Did you have this much animosity towards Baez and Lindor when this happened? I don't remember.
I did.
I was more pissed off about that.
I did. I was like, you know, and Javi Baez was doing it because Lindor had been hearing it all year long. And this was his best friend.
Sure.
So he wanted to do a favor for his buddy.
That's what it seemed like, right? That's what it seemed like. And Baez didn't come back. There were so many Mets fans that wanted him back, though. I was like, what are you, nuts? Like, this guy came here, he was here for 5 minutes, and he's thumbs down in your face, and you want him back?
He's sticking up for his buddy who just got a $330 million contract.
It's really amazing. What has happened to the athlete? You know, I mean,
I think it's social media really is.
But
really,
shouldn't that make you more?
No, I just thought, like, you and I know, you deal in the sewer pit of social media. You're going to deal with, you know, a guy's got one or two followers, and if you want to amplify what he's saying or she's saying or whatever, that's fine. But you know, I think today's athlete is really impacted by all of this, whether it be TikTok or Instagram or. You know, Twitter, whatever it may be, Facebook, whatever it is. I mean, everybody's connected now.
Yeah, I would think, though, so you're telling me that the social media makes somebody more sensitive to criticism?
Without question. You know?
I think eventually, though, if you get enough of it, you become calloused a little bit. You know? That's why I'm surprised. Like, you know, if you open up Twitter, you're a public figure in any way, shape, or form. You're going to be hearing people crushing you. Eventually, you're like, all right, you get used to it.
And I think Al has pointed this out. Most people on social media tend to be negative anyway.
Yeah.
You know, they want to come with a snarky comment or some way to, I don't know, make themselves feel better.
Yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, it's when you boo a player, most of the time it's not personal. It has everything to do with the fact that you just want them to play better.
Yeah, I booed a player in my time.
I remember
I've gotten booed.
Yeah, I've booed players before too.
Zhirdev.
Yeah, that's right. You and Gunnar got into a big argument about that.
Yeah.
You left him.
Well, because the guy couldn't hit the net and he didn't play defense.
You left him in the city by himself.
Yeah, well, he was a teenager. He could handle it.
You left him to find his way home on the subway or something.
And he figured it out.
Just because you fought over Zhirdev.
That's what I realized about, you know, 2 minutes with the back and forth with the whole Zhirdev thing.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I can't take this right now. I just cannot take this.
Yeah.
And plus we were losing like 5-1. And I think he was on the ice for like 4 of the 5 goals against.
He just left Gunner at the Garden.
Yeah. That's
to get home yourself.
Sometimes kids got to figure it out. You know, I mean, I didn't want to be a helicopter parent. Just let him figure it out.
That was the time. And how old? He was like 16, something like that?
15 or 16. Yeah, I mean, what is that? What 15 or 16? You're thinking about when you were 15 or 16.
Yeah, I know. I was going to games by myself, 15, 16, going into the Garden. For sure. Taking the train, coming back.
And you would do that for St. John's games, right?
I would, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Love going to those games back in the day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
I gotta find a way to mute something on Twitter. I think you can do that. You can, like, mute words and mute topics so it doesn't pop up in your timeline. And the thing that I want to mute is Wordle. Because you get
what
all...
What is it?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't want to know. I don't care what game somebody is playing. It's all over my timeline. And at first I was like, you know what, I'll just ignore it, whatever. But now, you cannot scroll through Twitter without 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people telling me what Wordle they did. And I don't even know what it is.
I don't either.
And I don't care to find out.
Okay, it's a five-letter word game.
It's a five-letter word game?
That a guy made for one of his buddies at work, because one of his buddies at work loves a word game. It only takes 3 minutes to play.
Okay.
That's the thing. And you can only play it once a day.
You've played it?
I mess around with it.
You mess around with Wordle?
I did, but you know, it didn't catch my fancy as much as it may catch somebody else's.
So a lot of people, apparently.
Yes.
It's all over the place. So what is
I gave a look at it.
What's the goal of it?
Is to get the...
The word.
To get a five-letter word.
What kind of clues do you get?
You don't. You just got to write a five-letter word and see whether or not the letters are correct or not.
Wow.
That seems pretty random. There's a few five-letter words, I believe, that are in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a couple. Yeah, so I am muting Wordle. I'm not falling for this crap. I'm not getting into it. People are like, oh, I got this. Well, this is, don't mean to brag, but I don't even know what this means. Are you bragging over Wordle?
I don't know. It's like green boxes, white boxes, yellow box.
So the green box means that the letter that you put in that box is where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
But when someone just tweets out blocks, and some blocks are green, some are white, and some are yellow, I don't understand.
Why do you have to tweet it out? Why can't you just play and have a good time?
Well,
it's a big social media thing,
that's why.
But why?
It's like the latest thing. It's the latest craze.
The latest craze. Stupid is what it is.
Okay.
You really playing Wordle?
I didn't. I just gave it a couple shots. That's all.
Okay.
When you brought it up last week to me.
Yeah, and I said, what the F is this?
I checked it out.
You got sucked
in? Times. No, I didn't get sucked in.
Sounds like you got sucked into it.
I didn't get sucked into it.
That's what it sounds like.
I didn't.
You know, you're so out of touch.
Yeah, I'm out of touch.
At least Wheel of Fortune, they give you clues.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like fun and games
right.
And all that stuff. What the hell's going on? All right, Jerry, what's going on, man?
We are powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. What is going on? Our 4 more playoff games this weekend, starting Saturday with the Titans and the Bengals. If you look back, last November, an 11-point win for Cincinnati. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel on Tuesday.
Just going back and looking at last year's game with the Bengals.
Oh, God. There's enough to make you puke. I mean, we could watch it. But it wasn't very good.
He said Derrick Henry cleared for some contact, so they'll take him through practice this week. I don't know if he's playing or not, but they will see what he can do in practice. The Niners are in Green Bay Saturday night, and Kyle Shanahan states the obvious. This Aaron Rodgers guy, he's a problem.
Aaron does a real good job of not making bad decisions and not turning the ball over. But he also makes all the plays down the field wherever you're off just a hair.
Just a hair, yes. And he's at home, and it's going to be cold, and so advantage Green Bay for sure. What's their number? What are they favored
it's
by?
It's got to be like five and a half.
Okay.
So you know, I think the weather has a lot to do with whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be able to handle this. And can you cover Devontae Adams with the back shoulder throw? That's like almost impossible to cover.
Let's see.
It may be the best ever. It may be the best ever combination.
It's now up to six.
Of back shoulder throws there,
Jimmy. Packers minus six.
You know that, right?
Back shoulder throws.
Imagine living in Green Bay. So today is a high of 17. The low is 1. And that's a good day.
Yeah.
Tomorrow the high is 11 with the low minus 6. Friday the high is 13 with a low of 4. Saturday is 21 degrees in snow with a low of minus 3.
Oh, it's going to look great on TV.
Sunday is 11 degrees with a low of minus. How about next Tuesday? The high is 6 with a low of minus 8.
And those are like real temperatures.
Well, yes, that's not real light. Feel.
Yeah.
Those are the temperatures.
Jerry, that's why they call it the frozen tundra.
That's why they call it stupid to live there. Yeah.
But that's why this field has a heater underneath it.
I know.
And that's why
I understand.
Did you see some of the old highlight of San Francisco versus Green Bay when Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback and they beat Aaron Rodgers twice in the playoffs? And you look back at the old highlights and the grass is all brown.
All burned out and gone and froze out.
The field looked totally different. So I would imagine that they added some sort of heating system after that.
Yeah, well, I do know that they do have that. That they have coils, I believe, on field. So that's kind of cool.
Need a driveway, one of those things.
Yes. Someone near me put in, we saw them doing it. It was some construction site. They put the coils underneath and then put it. Looks awesome.
Yeah.
Like everybody is frozen over driveway and this jackass, no problem.
If I had that heated driveway, I would just stand outside with a cup of coffee.
And a cigarette.
Yeah, watching everybody shovel in my driveway. Just everything's melting. Suckers!
That would be kind of cool. Sunday, Rams and Bucks. So Tyler Higbee was mic'd up for NFL Films the other night against Arizona. Here he was. A couple of things from him. Talking about social media, it's funny. This is during the game. He's on the bench discussing.
Somebody tweeted at me, said I look homeless. Nah. That ain't it. I got a barber. I can't afford it.
Yeah, sure, of course. And this comment comes after the wonderful just flip the ball in the air and hope no one catches it. The pick six.
I love scoring touchdowns. But equally as the same, I almost enjoy the defense scoring touchdowns more. Man.
So a fun piece there as they advance to take on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. This play is hilarious.
So bad. I know, it's so bad.
Like, I know what he's trying to do to avoid the safety, but come on.
It's a guy right open in front of his face. He just throw it to him.
I will answer me this, because watching the highlights of Jalen Hurts the other day, too, these guys, and Murray is the same way, these guys stand maybe 6 feet tall, right?
Yeah.
5'11". How the hell do they see anything down the field?
Drew Brees did it. Michael Vick did it.
I didn't say there aren't that didn't do it. Right. I'm saying how do they see down the field?
You know, they don't know anything different because they've always been this way. They've always had to play shorter than the rest of the players on the field.
But is it vision or is it more timing?
I think it's both. I think it's vision. It's you got to be able to, you know, move in the pocket to a certain point where you can see what's going on. But you also have to know your offense and you have to know the defense. He missed 5 or 6 balls right over the middle of the field. Like, The big void, and I would imagine that Tom Brady's going to go after this in this L.A. Ram defense, is right in between the numbers. Those big crossing patterns, and you know, and you'll see it. And Brady will exploit that. And Kyler Murray wasn't throwing it. He didn't trust what he was seeing, or maybe he didn't see it. I don't know.
Weekend closes with the Chiefs and the Bills. We mentioned last hour, and you guys have talked about it. Ryan Poles of Kansas City meeting with the Giants today for his second interview for their GM opening. You guys discussed Dak Prescott as he did issue the apology for the remarks about
about
the fans. And he actually did apologize.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm deeply sorry.
Yes, and understandably so. Here was Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin as they wrap up their year. Of course, they lost the other night. Their season's over. Ben Roethlisberger done, so they needed a new quarterback. He was asked about Rudolph and Haskins.
Both guys, Mason and Dwayne, have had their moments, but they'll have to prove that, not only in the team development process, but through playing itself.
See if they can actually do the job.
Yeah.
those two guys blow and not blow like the wind, like blow like any other way.
The Seahawks did fire defensive coordinator Ken Norton Jr. All right, we get to the basketball last night in the Garden. Back and forth game between the Knicks and the T-Wolves, but in the end, Minnesota with the biggest hoop of the night.
Edwards finds Towns. Towns against Randle. Off the dribble, drives inside, layup, counted, and a foul. Carl Anthony Towns aggressively going to the basket as his dad watches, and a chance for a three-point play.
See, that's a tough matchup for Julius Randle. That is a really tough. He's 7 foot.
Yeah.
And, you know, Julius is just a little bit shorter than he is, and you can just see right there, when they talk about length in the NBA,
yeah,
that's the play right there that everybody's talking about.
And here is Towns talking about the matchup.
I felt very confident getting the ball with that kind of time. So, you know, caught the ball, looked around, kind of gave it, you know, tried to hope some Julius would let his guard down just a little bit. Found the opening I wanted to take. I wanted to go to my left hand and just made a good move.
And there you go.
Yeah, I don't know why R.J. Barrett doesn't, like, try to even reach in when he starts to go.
Because you don't want to give up a wide-open three.
I know you don't. And you got to be quick, and you got to kind of, like, I don't know. You got to have a little basketball, like, intuition at that moment. I don't know. It's
you got beat. It's going to happen.
It's too easy. That's all.
Here was Thibodeau. I saw the end of this game. I didn't see much of it, though. I guess the officiating, he was not thrilled with.
We had some tough calls go against us. And, you know, we just can't put ourselves in a position like that where the referees are a factor like that.
Yeah. Alec Burks did miss a game-winning three at the buzzer for New York. And so they wind up losing the game 112-110. They are 22-23 on the season. They are off tonight. The Nets are in Washington. We'll have that game for you on The Fan at 7 p.m. The Warriors did beat the Pistons 102-86. College basketball, UConn easy over Butler, 76-59. You've got St. John's Creighton coming up tonight. Rutgers home for Iowa tonight. A couple of things from the NHL. A, the Islanders beat the Flyers in a shootout 4-3. First career goal for Robin Salow. Oilers and Blackhawks postponed. Edmonton has had their struggles for sure. They've had several games postponed. And by the way, they've lost six in a row. It's even more than that with, I think it's like 9 out of 10 or 9 of 11, something like that. So Leon Draisaitl was asked about the losing of late.
What do you think's the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
A very Bill Belichick type of answer. Well, the reporter wanted more, so there was a follow-up and then a critique from the answer from the follow-up.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not a very good one.
Okay.
All right, so you hear the media guy in the back. All right, one more question.
All right, that's it. Wrap it on. Yeah. So the guy asking the questions is Jim Matheson. And Jim Matheson is like the Larry Brooks of covering the Edmonton Oilers.
I believe he's actually in the Hall of Fame.
Is he really?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he is. Well, so they said one more question, so no one raised their hand except, what's his name, Larry?
Jim Matheson.
Jim Matheson. He had one more.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Good.
And that be that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You got a lot of money spent on a lot of great hockey players out there, and they are going the wrong way.
I mean, I can understand getting frustrated with a non-answer, especially if you're someone who's a respected comp, but why are you so pissy is something that you don't ask a guy. That, to me, is like disrespectful, too.
Well,
like, I don't know. I take Leon Draisaitl
there between the two
Julius
of them.
Didn't they ask Julius Randle that the other day? Like, why won't you expand your? Didn't they ask him, why won't you expand your answer to the question that we're asking you about the thumbs down thing?
I don't remember. I don't know.
Because I've already spoken.
Yeah, I've already addressed it.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
He said that several times.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's so many players and coaches in sports that answer questions like that. Like, I don't know. It just seemed I'm on Draisaitl's side with this. I am.
I thought it was over the top.
Yeah, why are you so pissy? He's like, I'm not. Yes, you are. Like, I don't know. It's like...
and when you're losing as much as they have been, saying you need to improve in every area.
Yeah.
I think that makes
sense. Good answer, right?
I think that makes sense.
I mean, I guess you want them to just say, look, you know, our goalie sucks.
Oh, they're not going to do that. I didn't realize they're the two worst goalies in the league, percentage-wise. I didn't know that.
Well, especially during this losing streak.
Right. Rangers home for the Maple Leafs. Devils host the Coyotes. And Carlos Correa hires Scott Boras.
Uh-oh.
He wants $100 million a year.
Uh-oh.
I'm kidding.
Time to break the bank.
You may.
You never know.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Where were you this past weekend?
I was 2-4.
2-4.
Yeah. Yeah, 2-4. Oof. And I was 2-3 going to the Monday night game, and I picked Arizona in the Monday night game, and that's what you've got. Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't want to, like... I almost should pick the Titans because I want the Bengals to win. Oh, by the way, I wanted to ask you this.
Yes.
So I saw the Icky Woods situation before the game. Did you see him? They had him up there.
Yeah, dancing.
He was doing the dance and everything else. Now, if you weren't, now I know you work, but if you weren't working for a Bengals playoff game,
right?
And they asked you to go out there to do that. Whatever the hell that they were doing.
Right? Well, they do that in a lot of stadiums. They bring back their past stars. And,
I know, with the Vikings, they have them blowing to the horn, and the Chiefs, they have them banging the drum.
Yeah.
Would you fly out there just for that?
Well, I think Icky lives there. I think a lot of those guys still live in Cincinnati. That's
I know.
Why they're there.
Well, I'm asking you. Would well, you go
probably,
out there?
They'd probably fly me coach, and I'd say no.
The Bengals would fly you coach
yeah,
out
most
there?
Most likely, yeah.
And you wouldn't upgrade on your own?
No.
Now, let's say the Bengals made it to the Super Bowl.
I did do something for them. You remember when I went out there this summer?
Yeah.
To watch some tape with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right,
yeah.
So I did do something for their video crew to put up on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that a couple times this year.
You know that the longer the Bengals are in the playoffs, the more you're going to be asked to do.
No. First of all, they're not playing at home.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just overall sports talk radio interviews.
I'm getting the emails because they go to me.
Yeah.
We'd like Boomer on the show. Can Boomer do this? Can Boomer do that?
No.
Well,
no.
You know, the problem is I spend 4 hours a day here talking about things like this. But, you know, I just feel like with Joe Burrow throwing for over 525 yards in a game or 525 yards in a game, with them winning a first playoff game now, you know, I'm going further and further into irrelevancy when it comes to
Cincinnati
sports.
But right now, you are very relevant. Very, very relevant. And if they make it to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go. You're going to have to spend the week there, Radio Row, doing interviews.
Here's the other thing. If the Niners win this week and the Bengals win this week, we're a little closer to a Niners-Bengals Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yep. I'm telling you, people, this is how sports talk radio producers think. They're like, all right, Bengals, Boomer, last time, Icky Woods, Boomer does radio, we'll put him on. Like, I remember this past week, I heard Spike talking to somebody in the hallway. They were trying to get Rondé Barber on WIP because...
of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, because they played the Bucs, and remember that 2002 NFC Championship game, Rondé, it was the last game of the vet, Rondé had like two or three picks or something.
And they wanted to relive that.
But I'm like, well, that's how they think, though. Let's get run the last time these teams met. Blah, 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 put this guy
common opponent.
In. Yeah, common opponent. Yeah.
You know the
dog
amazing
used to
thing?
Do that. Find a common opponent.
The amazing thing about the Bengals and Raiders matchup was the last time that my team lost in the playoffs was to the Raiders in the Bo Jackson game. And so people felt like that was the Bo Jackson curse that had lasted 31 years where the Bengals just could not win a playoff game.
Yeah, well, wasn't the Bengals' fault?
No, but the thing I will say, though, in defense of the Bengals, though, is, you know, Mike Brown, I always liked Mike Brown. I find him to be very funny but very straightforward, and you know what he's all about. And he always took care of the quarterbacks. He always paid the quarterbacks.
Sure.
So there was nothing really to be upset about. But he did have patience. I mean, he lasted, you know, Marvin Lewis was there 15 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Marvin Lewis was in Cincinnati as long as Coach Cower was,
there was
in
some,
Pittsburgh.
There was some controversy there, too. I mean, he had some bad apple players and everything else.
Well, as we see around the league, there is a lot of that.
Now, next year, you're going to be inducted into the Bengals Ring of Honor.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
And I don't know that.
Yes, you
and
do.
And why do you say that?
Because I know.
I mean, it'd be like me saying that you're going to get, you know, inducted into the Belport Hall of Fame.
I actually was put on the Belport High School Wall of Fame.
Well, okay, there you go.
Just recently, yes, okay. That's right. They sent me a plaque and everything else.
You got a plaque?
Oh, yeah. I was in the Long Island Advance. It was a big deal.
Was it a patch? Was it a patch story?
No, I don't know if it was a patch story. It's definitely in the Long Island Advance. And my face is up on the wall there at Belport High School, which is just funny to me because I was a terrible student. But every teacher I had hated me. But because I've had some success in my adult life, so now all of a sudden I'm a Hall of Famer.
Were you like just a little bit of a nudge?
Yeah, of course I was. Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Always mess around in the back of the classroom.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Making noises.
Yeah. No, impersonating my teachers, things like that. That's what I did.
Right.
But I'm telling you right now, next year when you get inducted into that Ring of Honor, you're going to have to be there for that, I would hope. And then we're all going to have to go. It's going to be like a Monday night or a Thursday night. We're going to have to do the show from Cincinnati the next day, I think. Well, what?
You know, you can think all you want.
Absolutely what's going to happen. There was a chance you were going to be in the inaugural Ring of Honor. Now, you're definitely going to be in the... There's not that many great players.
There's a lot of great players in Bengals history. It started in 1969. There's a lot of great guys.
You're in the top five at bare minimum.
Yeah, so you'll be...
Guys, you guys don't realize how many great players went through there.
Is that going
to
be a...
You know why? Because nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talks about it.
You took that team to the
Super Bowl. That's why there's one Hall of Famer. Actually, two if you count Paul Brown. But.
Is that going to be a Teterboro situation for us next year with the Ring of Honor? Or are we going to have to fly ourselves out?
Yeah, there? I don't know. Jane in Smithtown. Jane, what's happening?
Oh, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Hey, what's happening?
I don't know if you have talked about this at all, but have you noticed that Jeopardy lately is as boring as a giant game?
I can't watch it. I mean, I hate to say this. I was a big Jeopardy fan, and it's still a great game. But ever since Alex Trebek has passed away and he's not doing it anymore, I have a tough time getting into it. I know the host isn't really the big story with Jeopardy. It's the game, but I couldn't get into this last contestant who was winning all that money. Normally when someone gets on a roll like that, I get into it. Even Gina said to me, she's like, usually what we'll watch when someone's on a roll like this. I have no interest anymore.
Lost
I don't know what
icon.
It is.
That's why. Well, it is. It's not Alex Trebek. That's why.
I really think that's why.
And that's why I thought, and as crazy as it is, I thought that Aaron Rodgers was great at it, and he would bring different eyes, and there would be a different kind of way of doing things with him, which there were when he was doing it.
You think that's what it is, Jane? That's no more Trebek?
Well, of course, I miss him. I do. But I have to say, Ken Jennings is doing a great job lately.
Yeah.
But it's Amy Schneider. It's just like... All of a sudden, she just answers every question. Nobody has a chance. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's like watching a Giants game. This is so boring.
where the other players are the Giants, right? Not Amy.
Yeah. No, Amy Schneider is not a Giant at all.
I mean,
it's just crazy. So, anyway, I didn't know if you've been talking about it. But thank you for putting me on.
Of course,
okay, Jane. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks
for calling. You know, like, that's why I love Jeopardy! James Holzhauer, because he was so exciting. Like, he was... all over the map. He would always double his money with the Daily Double. He'd be trying to find it. He was bouncing around. Like, he was fun to watch.
Do you think that, like, if Aaron Rodgers did that, like, he'd get bored after a couple years of doing it?
No, I don't think so. I think he's a huge Jeopardy fan. He seemed very comfortable. He'd love doing it. You got to remember, too, how they film those things. There's like they film 3 months worth of shows in 2 days.
Yeah, I know.
So like, how do you get bored doing it? Most of the time, you're off.
Yeah. I was wondering if, you know, somebody like that would get bored because, you know, playing quarterback in the NFL, there's nothing boring about that.
But at some point, he's not going to have the physical ability to do it any longer. You know, and being on live TV like that, and you got to concentrate. I don't think you get bored doing that. You got to be on top of things when you're the host of Jeopardy.
You better be on top of things.
Exactly.
And the fact that they're taping it, if you make a mistake, they can go back and redo it.
Let's go to Mike, who's in Jackson. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Just imagine Niners, Bengals, Super Bowl. The Bengals fly Boomer, coach, all the way out to SoFi Stadium, standing side by side to Joe Montana for a ceremonial coin flick before the game.
Yeah.
How great would that be?
Oh, it would be tremendous. Yeah, the Niners would send Joe Montana there in Bezos's rocket. And then the Bengals would send Boomer there on Frontier.
And then Al Michaels would be like, oh, there's the coin toss.
Yeah, right. There's the couple of guys out there doing the coin toss. I mean, I'm telling you, if the Bengals end up winning this week and they find themselves in the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go to L.A.
You know, the interesting thing, if the two road teams win this week, right?
Yeah.
Who, that means the Bengals. That means the Bengals will go to the Bills.
That's right.
And it would be a redo of the night. Then I can go up there and do the coin toss.
Damn right.
You and Jim Kelly. Yeah.
Right, yeah, there you go.
That'd be something else.
I'll probably be there because I think we're going to the AFC Championship game this
year. Oh, really?
Year. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the last time you were somewhere with the NFL Today and it was cold, and didn't you and Phil get sick?
Got stomach really virus. Sick, yeah.
Phil in a porta potty or
no,
something?
No, I think I got, I was really sick, really bad.
I remember,
103 fever, the whole thing, for about 3 or 4 days.
I remember. And then we went to the Super Bowl.
Could have been the first undocumented case of COVID.
That's what everybody said. Everybody wants to have COVID before COVID was a thing.
Well,
I don't know why that is. Like, Jerry says that. Peter Schwartz said that. I was like, Peter, if you got COVID, you would have been dead.
You would have had Delta COVID.
There's no way Peter Schwartz, if he would have gotten COVID pre-vaccine, would have made it through. Are you kidding me? That guy? He would have been gone at a snap of a finger.
Well, let's not talk like that.
Well, why not? I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, it's high risk.
The COVIDs would have even got together and be like, that does not even fetch someone. He's so easy.
I know. We want a challenge.
It's Bobby in Belmar. Bobby, what's happening?
You know. Boom, Gio. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Hey, wanted to ask you, you mentioned Marvin Lewis. Why isn't he getting consideration for a coach now? I mean, he's only 63. He's obviously turned that Bengals organization around when he was there. Why do you think he's not getting considered for any modern-day coaching jobs?
You know, he was up for the job last year in the Cowboys, and I don't know if it was a sham interview or not because it met the Rooney Rule requirements, but he did get interviewed by the Cowboys.
Yeah, I remember that. And felt like he had a real shot at it, too.
You know, I actually talked to him at Bill Cowher's induction at the Hall of Fame because he was sitting next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at their coaching records are they're about the same.
Oh, what are you talking about? Bill Cowher went to multiple AFC championship games, two Super Bowls, and one.
I'm talking about regular season, and I'm talking about the length that he was in Cincinnati. It was the same length that Bill, his buddy, because he coached under Bill in Pittsburgh.
Are you nuts? You think Marvin Lewis?
I felt bad for Marvin sitting there. I'm like, damn, Marvin, you had a hell of a run in Cincinnati.
If I'm up here, I'm a Hall of Famer. Marvin Lewis is way down here.
No, they're
way
buddies.
At the bottom of the list.
They're buddies. He loves Marvin Lewis.
Does he?
Yes.
He probably doesn't respect him.
He loves Marvin Lewis because he beat him twice a year.
That's not true.
They weren't coaching that long against each other, I don't think. Probably just a couple of years, right?
Is that
03, 04, 05, I would say. Right?
Just Google it.
I am. Shut up. So he started in 03.
Yeah, so 03, 04, 05, 06. It was four years that they coached against
him. He has 131, 122, and 3 record. He got a winning record for the Bengals.
Okay, yep, he did.
You know, look at this. I mean, you know, he had 4 years there in 12 to 16 where he was 10 wins, 11 wins, 10 wins, 12 wins. And then he had 3 losing records before they replaced him with Zach Taylor.
Yeah, but they never won a playoff game. It was a big problem.
I understand that.
So that's why
they were in the playoffs 5 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. He did a nice job there, but never won a playoff game. So that's why you can't compare him and Cowher together.
I'm just talking about the amount of time he spent there. He was there 16 years.
Long time. He's as they say, he's a compiler. That's what he is. Not great, good, not great. Good coach, Marvin Lewis, good coach, not great. Cowher, great coach.
Trying to figure out where he and Cowher crossed over because he was in Baltimore, Marvin, before he became the
head coach. I just told you, 03, 04, 05, 06, they were together in the same division.
Right, okay.
Without even me looking at Pro Football Reference.
You're right. Dang. You are right.
Yeah, see? I know. I'm all over it. I got AFC North knowledge.
That's what I got.
I know you do.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.